Today, let's talk about my 60 cents of 2023 on prospecting and how I'll think differently about prospecting in 2024. So if you're looking for new ideas for 2024, this episode is for you. Welcome or welcome back to the Easy Again Podcast. I'm Eric, your host, and I'm here to help you grow faster in your career and create more pipeline. I wish I had this spot when I started as an SDR. I've been in tech sales since 2010. I've been a top performing SDR at 4 different tech companies and leading for the past 2 years. And today, that's the second episode of my mini-series, New Formats, a solo episode. On the first episode, actually, we were talking about career, my listeners about career in 2023. And then on the next one, we will do on leadership, so about hiring and other topics. This is me testing, actually, new formats. So I already shared out on LinkedIn, but my goal for 2024 on the podcast is to test new formats outside of just having interviews. And in today's episode, it's not maybe like too tactical. So it's more me reflecting, but also sharing the takeaway of 2023 on that. And so instead of taking notes or keeping my notes for myself, so the idea is to share them with you on this episode. Yeah, also to just let you know that in the next few weeks, I'm going to test a new format, a weekly event. So I'm going to share that obviously on the podcast, but also on LinkedIn. So when you can join us, for example, with a guest or be the only one person. Today's episode, let's talk about my six lessons of 2023 on prospecting. The first one is how to think about LinkedIn. The second one is my switch from focusing on the prospects versus the account, then business impact, then the point of view. The fifth one, A/B testing in analytics. And the last one is AI. So let's get started. Lesson number one, LinkedIn. Already started to talk about that a few months ago already, but the main thing for me, that's something I learned in 2023, the lesson was I always thought, for example, you need a brand on LinkedIn to be successful. And actually, I did a few episodes last year with top performing SDRs in different industries. And the first thing I learned from them, those SDRs actually or AEs, they were using other brand. Or they didn't, but they were still using social selling and specifically LinkedIn, because I'm not talking about using other social media like Twitter or book groups, for example, because I know there is other industry that's possible. But more, for example, people who are using LinkedIn to reach out to prospects, and they don't have a brand on LinkedIn, they don't post on LinkedIn, and they still contact a prospect and they still get results. My main lesson about that specifically is a lot of people say you need a personal brand to be successful, and the reality, you don't. Obviously, it's helpful. I'm not saying you need a personal brand just to be successful, but even though you don't have a post, you are not posting on LinkedIn, but yes, the reality on using LinkedIn as a social media, reality of using LinkedIn to prospect actually, yes, you need to optimize your profile, because obviously if your profile is not optimized for prospecting, it's not going to be successful. So that's one lesson on LinkedIn. Another one actually on LinkedIn is the pitch slap. So actually when you connect with someone on LinkedIn, a lot of people say on LinkedIn, no, you shouldn't pitch your prospects. So I think it depends. So if you work with marketing leaders or sales leaders, yes, it's true. I think here you need to be mindful about that, because those prospects, they spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. Spend a year in 19 prospecting HR leaders. I think HR leaders, that's also another one. Like maybe you don't want to pitch them straight away, because I think sales leaders, marketing leaders, and HR leaders, they spend some time on LinkedIn. And so here maybe you don't want to pitch them. But what I learned in 2023 actually on pitching prospects on LinkedIn is that was my first year prospecting technical buyers. And so I was thinking, hey, I'm going to do the same way as I was contacting sales leaders. I'm more focusing starting conversation than pitching. Actually didn't work starting conversation, because something I saw with technical leaders, so like data leaders, that's the prospect I was going after in 2023 before joining AgroWorks. But mainly what I learned with that is the data leaders are not spending their time on LinkedIn. If you try starting conversation with them, focusing on, I don't know, something you saw on their LinkedIn profile, those prospects are not spending time on LinkedIn. So they might reply 2 or 3 weeks after. And something also, what I learned about that the hard way was, even though when I had someone who was interested to talk with me, because they don't spend time on LinkedIn. For example, I had someone who said yes to a meeting and the guy disappeared for 3 weeks and then disappeared. I thought it disappeared, but basically he told me, hey, sorry, I don't go often on LinkedIn. And basically he replied 3 weeks after. So I say, okay, so maybe technically it was there. You need to be more, obviously, when I say pitching, I'm not saying you should pitch in the bad way. Obviously, you need to look something that's relevant for them. So yeah, because obviously if you send a generic message, it is not going to work, but that's something I learned with technical leaders. You can pitch on LinkedIn, but obviously it needs to be relevant, but also the message needs to be maybe not as long and as an email. And yeah, I think the last thing also is there is not only, on LinkedIn mainly, there is not only way to prospect on LinkedIn, because the main thing I learned also is that for me earlier in my course, I was thinking about LinkedIn just for reaching out to my prospect, but basically you can still use it for different things, like so follow-ups, asking questions, getting referrals, for example, because if the leader is not replying, for example, you can still contact the people on his team or her team and ask them who will be the right person, or for example, get some information, because I know if you go after enterprise accounts, you can get some information talking to the individual contributors on their team, and that's also another great, is great for that. So now let's talk about season two, my switch from focusing on prospects to accounts. So what I mean by that is specifically is when I started to prospect, I was always thinking about what I can find about a specific person to personalize on. So when I was prospecting an account, instead of going after researching the account first, I was going to the LinkedIn profile of the person. I was spending so much time on the research, and obviously it doesn't work to do that. Even though, for example, you think about switching to the account first and then the person, I think in terms of research, it saves you so much time, because if you do the research on the account first versus the prospects, you will find more information that you can use with, for example, if you have 10 prospects on accounts, if you are doing enterprise prospecting, for example, you can use that for the 10 people on the team, because if you know how to be relevant with for example, let's say an example, if the company is hiring, you can use that, for example, for the rest of the team, or you can use that to the VP of sales, for example. But your goal is to be quick on the research versus doing too many research on one specific prospect at the account. So yes, you can research the account, but then you start thinking about, hey, for those person at the account, can I find additional information? Yes or no? That's obviously another question, but why I learned that last year, actually, because let's go back on saying that I was prospecting technical buyer personas. The reality of prospecting technical buyer personas, because one, they don't spend too much time on LinkedIn, you won't find a lot of information about them. So what I was doing, instead of just researching all of them, I'm not going to spend my time doing that, because every time I was doing that, I was wasting my time. So I was looking, for example, from, can I find information about the account? Yes. So if it's an enterprise account, a 10K report, so a 10K, it's the annual report about the company if the company is public. But if the company is not public, what can I find about the company? So I was looking for podcast episodes, for example, or interviews from someone on the team. Even though they are not spending time on LinkedIn, I could find like the interview, and then I would use the interview to contact the rest of the team. Obviously, if I contact the person who was interviewed, I was using that, and then I could say, hey, your colleague or your VP say that on X podcast, hey, and then obviously be relevant to the other person. That was my focus, my lesson on that. If you think about that in terms of research and how you can improve your, I would say, prep process or research process, I will go always first on the account and spend most of my time on what I can do, what can I find about the account. So right now at Agoapulse, for example, we are looking for which social profile are they using? How big is the marketing team? How many social media managers do they have on the team or community managers? Do they use a competitor already, or yes or no? And that's information I'm going to look for. Are they hiring on the marketing team? Are they hiring social media managers? Are they public? Do they have locations in different industries, in one country, or different locations in different countries? And that's a lot of information you can find, because if you do, that's something you will find all the time. There's a prospect. If you start researching the prospect, not all the prospects will have information that you can use in your outreach. Next lesson, that's business impact. So same here, that's my lesson from Castor Doc, actually, when I was contacting technical buyer personas. Because I think there is two types of impact when you're contacting your prospects or having a solution that can help a company. So if we sell a product to a company, there is the impact on the end user and the impact on the business. And before joining CastorDoc, that's not something I was really focused on. So for me, it was pretty much the same, but specifically in 2023, that's something I learned because I was, so like I said earlier, contacting data leaders and the value of the product of CastorDoc, that was a data, if you're familiar with the data space, you understand what it is. But for me, it was a new product. I was really new with the world of data with all the big leaders in the space. So Snowflake, Databricks, for example, or BigQuery. I was really lost with that. So I really focused on learning about the impact of data catalog for the end users, but then also the impact for the data leadership team, but also what's the impact of that on the rest of the business? Because it's not just this type of product, specifically for an enterprise product, because that was an enterprise product mainly. I need to understand that because for me, it was easier to understand actually the impact of the product on the rest of the company than understanding the technical impact on the end users, because what's the value for the data team? Because I was really new with the data team, that was hard for me. But the understanding the rest of the company, it was easier because data teams actually, when I joined Castor, I was focusing on understanding what's the impact of a data team into a business. And I think the reply will be different for so many industries because obviously if you have a data team for a SaaS company, and sorry, let me go back on what I'm saying here, but I'm thinking about here the buyer persona and the ICP. So I'm not talking about my product specifically, but because I was selling to a data team, the first thing I need to understand is what's the purpose of a data team inside the company? Because if you work for a company where you sell a product for a sales team or a marketing team, it's pretty easy to understand that. It's marketing is here, for example, if it's a B2B company, to help the sales team to get pipeline, to get revenue. If you sell a product for the revenue team, the sales team, your product will help them sell better and increase the revenue or accelerate the sales cycle. But for a data team, for me, it was hard to understand that because I didn't know what's the goal of a data team. And because even though you sell that to the end users, then you want to think about the rest of the team, of the company, what's the impact of that the data team, if the data team can be more productive, if they can be more productive, if they can make better decisions, or can give, for example, data analysis to the leadership of the company. Well, the company can make decisions quicker and obviously they can make the right decision quicker and they can accelerate, for example, the making decisions. And that's something, I learned last year because when you understand that, then when you reach out to your prospect, it's easier to have conversation with them and understand the impact on their business. And if we go back to the impact of a data team, for example, if they work at a SaaS business or if they work for a fintech company or if they work for an e-commerce business, one of the main focus for them is revenue, but they are not going to impact the company the same way as for a SaaS business, for example, or tech or an e-commerce. Say they will work, for example, the data team for an e-commerce business, they will work closely with the marketing, for example. And if it's with a SaaS business, it will be really heavy with the RevOps team or the sales team and the marketing team also to make the right decisions on revenue. Now let's talk about lesson number four, the point of view. This one is, I learned this from Mike Wonder. So that's he was talking about the point of view and he was saying by that is, so if you didn't listen to the episode, I'll share it in the description. But Mike basically on the episode, he was talking about cold emailing, but before cold emailing, what was happening on his side when he was making a decision to contact a company. So he was thinking about having a point of view. And if you don't have a point of view, for example, you don't know the business of the company, you don't know anything about the company, you shouldn't reach out to them. And I really like that because if you're reaching out to an account and you don't know that, you shouldn't contact them. And so the lesson here from this episode, actually, because I still remember this conversation, is you should understand the business that you're contacting and how, based on, if we go back to what I was saying earlier about the triggers you find on the account, so if they're hiring or if they're growing or if you find that they have another tool, you should, based on your research, you should have a point of view. Because let's say as an example, if a company that I'm prospecting at Agorapulse with the team, if they have already a product in place, have a product, a competitor for Agorapulse, my conversation will be different than talking about using for the first time a social media platform, just if they already use it, because they're already doing something. if they have the competitor. So your messaging will be different. So here, something from this episode specifically, what I learned and something that you can use for you is you can think about having a point of view, meaning that based on the triggers, on what you find during your research, you know what you can leverage or focus on when you are contacting them. So that's, I think that was super interesting for Mike actually. Okay, so now listen number 5, A-B testing and analytics. That's something I always hear about on podcast or LinkedIn. And I don't know why, but for me, I started to really focus on that last year. But I think, yeah, when you hear about something, sometimes it can take a lot of time. But why? No, it's not why. But the first time I heard about A-B testing was, I think, John Barrows on his podcast when I was really starting my being an SDR. And yeah, so yeah, that was great. And okay, let's think about what I can A-B test. And the only thing I was thinking A-B testing was, okay, when I send an email, I'm going to test my subject line. And that was it. Obviously, A-B testing is not just testing subject lines. It's a lot of things. But for the lessons on A-B testing analytics, I think it's having the mindset of a scientist. Here, that's a lesson I got from Tito Bort on the episode that we recorded like 3 or 4 months ago. But basically, Tito was talking about ask. And actually, I was asking him, hey, what the biggest mistake you've made with your teams at this company? And he said, it's not that I don't make any mistakes, but it's more around, if you have the mindset of being a scientist and you are testing or having experiments all the time, is you're not testing, you tried something, it didn't work, and that's it. And so you are always testing your messaging, your subject lines, your call opener, for example, on your core course. And your goal is to always having a test in place and then make analysis based on, for example, if you start seeing some results. And I think I really like this mindset, because I think A-B testing or your prospecting efforts, it's something you will always focus on, because I think it's something you, even though that Tito, I think, I don't know how many years is he this company, but Tito is still testing a lot of things from his prospecting, for his messaging, but also with Steam. So it means that we need to test a lot of subject lines, cold calling openers, your call to action, obviously on your email, for example. But there is so many things we could try, and I really like that. And that's something also you can think about, is how you can test, maybe not for a daily basis, but on a weekly basis, as sitting in front of your computer and saying, okay, this week I've sent like maybe 200 or 300, if you're on SDR, 300 emails or LinkedIn messages, or maybe less messages, but you made 300 cold calls. Okay, I tried this. Here is the result. And that's something you can do also on leadership level, because you can do that with 10 reps or 20 reps and 30 reps. And that's pretty much the same, because obviously as a leader, you will learn so much quicker than just doing it just for one person. And the other thing, that's something I learned from Florin Tatuila actually, that was the importance also of thinking about testing everything. If we go back to what I was telling about Tito, I learned that from Florin actually, from his cold emailing course at Pavilion, that for example, even though if you're focusing on increasing the open rate, if you want to get more replies, for example, just by increasing, I don't have the spreadsheet in front of my eyes, so I don't want to say anything stupid on that. But even though you improve your open rate, you can improve the number of replies you get. And so it means that you don't need to send the same amount of emails just to get the same results. And I say, oh, that's so interesting, because you don't need just to focus on, for example, hey, if I want to get more meetings, yes, you can send more emails. But the other way also is, yes, I can get more replies, so I need to improve the messaging. But also, if we just talk about cold emailing, obviously, if you get more people opening emails, you will get more people opening the email. So it means you will get more replies. And that's the same on LinkedIn. That's the same on cold calling. Because same if you think about cold calling, if you improve your cold calling opener, instead of having 5% of people saying yes for your cold call, so if you have a permission-based opener, and if 5%, maybe if you have like 30% of people saying yes to have a conversation, then you improve that to 80%. That's obviously, you don't need to make the same amount of cold calls to get the same amount of meetings. But yeah, that was my lesson on that. And so if you think about that, is thinking about, obviously, when you want to improve your results, most of the time you can hear about, hey, you send more emails or do more something. But if you start breaking, for example, for each channel, breaking it down by open rate, reply rate, positive reply rate, meetings booked, for example, for email, then you can start thinking about, hey, do I need to send more email, or is my messaging good or not, and having the right balance on that. So that was lesson five. And then the last one is AI. That's something as, yeah, I posted a little bit on LinkedIn and I've sent a few newsletters. We did talk a lot on the podcast, I think one or two episodes, but actually I'm going to record an episode on that, on AI, using AI for prospecting soon. But for me at the beginning, I was not super excited about it because I saw the results. I was using ChatGPT, or people talking about ChatGPT early, I think it was January 2023. And when I saw the result of ChatGPT, I said, maybe that's too early. You know what? I'm going to test it and see, let's see. And after two or three months, it started to, because I was Castor, for me, it was really, I would say, yeah, tough to understand the data space. So I was talking about it earlier, but the data industry, for me, it was a lot of new information, trying to understand data, the stack of a data team, so a data warehouse, the BI tool, and then you have tools like ETL, reverse ETL, with tools like DBT or Fivetran. And for me, it was too many information. So I started to use ChatGPT to really, how do you say that, simplify this information, because, yeah, the co-founders of Castor, they were sending me information, podcast that I need to listen. But even though I was listening to it, it was really long to understand because that was a really new space. So I started to use ChatGPT just for understanding the data space. I was asking ChatGPT, hey, when I say AI, if I was mainly using ChatGPT, obviously that's not the only tool to test, but, and I was asking ChatGPT, hey, can you simplify or explain what's the data warehouse to a 5 years old? Same for a BI tool, same for a reverse ETL tool. And the idea was just trying to have the basics, maybe not being like an expert on the subject, because I'm not a data leader or data engineer or data analyst. I started to use ChatGPT for that. Then I started to see, hey, you can use ChatGPT to research a 10K, to analyze the transcript of a podcast episode. So the more and more I was testing it, and the more and more I was starting to see the potential of ChatGPT, and I say, well, that's great. And obviously now I'm using it a lot for different topics, but for prospecting specifically, it's so good, for example, for the analysis of 10Ks, the analysis of transcripts, so you can focus on the right things instead of reading everything. Obviously, it's not perfect, but it's saving me so much time. And at Castor specifically, I booked my biggest opportunity using ChatGPT. And I don't think I would book it without it, because it helped me find the right information and write the right message to the companies that I was going. It was a key opportunity on the second call, something like that. But it was super interesting to see that obviously a lot of people talk about how you can write messaging. I think here it's not great, but you obviously need to work on it. And yeah, I think AI is, we are just agreeing, and we will see what's the potential. Actually, for WordPress this year, we are thinking about how we are going to use AI to accelerate the result of outbound, actually, because it's not, is it wrong to use AI in your Twitch? But it's more on, hey, how can we accelerate the results? Is it wrong to use AI? No, it's okay. We just need to find what's working for you. For me, it was working at Castor. Now we are starting to use it at Wall. So yeah, I'm sure I'm going to share more details on that. And if we think about how we are going to use it, so one is obviously maybe ChatGPT or something else. There is tools on the market that I think are starting to be okay if you compare to ChatGPT, but I don't think there is a tool like ChatGPT who can do the same, but there is tools that they are starting to build and starting having better results than ChatGPT. We'll see. But one of them that we are going to try, and I'm really a big fan of it, but it's Clay, for a lot of different reasons. I was using it at Castor actually for enterprise prospecting, not to prospect, but more to do the research on the triggers that we were talking about earlier, about how many people on the team they have. Is the data team growing, for example? And instead of doing it manually, I could use Clay to do that. Now, if you can use Clay in different ways, but the main way I think we'll use it at GoApples is to write messaging, do the research also, like I was doing at Castor, and scale that. And so the SDR on the team, they can be quicker on focusing on the right accounts versus doing the manual research and doing a lot of things. So yeah, that was my six lessons on prospecting about 2023. So I hope it was helpful for you, and I hope I give you some, it was not a tactical episode, but it's more help you think about some topics in a different way. And yeah, if you have more feedback about this type of episode, or if you want to get more episodes like this, yeah, let me know. You can contact me on LinkedIn. And yeah, next episode about lessons, I'm going to talk about leadership, SDR leadership specifically, and what I learned in 2023 and what I'm thinking about in 2024. Thanks for watching or listening, and I see you on the next episode.